You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Patricia O'Brien's latest book is about a celebrity sex scandal with lurid headlines, a bitter family rift, and a trial that obsessed the nation. It may sound contemporary, but it was in 1875 that renowned preacher and abolitionist Henry Ward Beecher was accused of having an affair with a friend's wife. His siblings rallied around him, proclaiming his innocence, that is, all except one. Isabella urged Henry to confess, and as a result, she was effectively banished from the family and estranged from her dear sister, Harriet. Patricia O'Brien tells the story in her new novel, Harriet and Isabella, which is published by Simon & Schuster. I'm very pleased to welcome Ms. O'Brien to the show today. Hello.
Hello.
Nowadays, these sorts of trials are fairly commonplace. Was this the first of its kind?
It really was. It signified a different way of looking at scandal, in part because the whole world was changing. You have to consider the time, the setting. Just imagine what it was like in around the 1870s. It was the last few years of Reconstruction. The war was over. There was rampant greed. There was great change in the way women's lives were seen, and there was this terrific debate over free love. All these things were happening, and here comes the most prominent minister in America, accused of committing adultery with the wife of his best friend, and it exploded. The Beechers were really—they were the Kennedys of their time. They were respected, admired. They were glamorous, and yet there was a great deal going on under the surface with them.
They had real power, too. I mean, Abraham Lincoln suggested that that Harriet— What didn't he say? Are you the
so
woman?
So you're the little lady who started this big war. Yeah. Yes, Harriet Beecher Stowe was, I think, at a certain point, certainly the most famous of the Beechers. And this book will really tell you about a Harriet that nobody knows. They haven't known.
Now, why have you chosen to write this story as a novel? Isn't enough known about it to have filled a very respectable work of nonfiction?
There are some quite wonderful biographies already out about Henry and about Harriet. Not about Isabella, who actually deserves one on her own, but I wanted to fill in the parts of this terrific, juicy story. I wanted to fill in the parts that nobody knows about. Mm-hmm. That's what writing historical fiction, what makes it so much fun.
But you remain historically accurate when the historical record required.
Yes. I like a framework of truth when I read historical fiction, so I certainly want it that way when I write it.
Now, why did an accusation of adultery land Henry in court?
Well, at first, he had been exonerated by his church. I mean, this is such a great New York
story. Well, everybody loved this man, except his enemies.
That's right. But he was, it was held down. It was kind of bubbling along for a couple of years. And then Victoria Woodhull, who was so upset, not that she thought that Henry, moralistically, that she should out Henry. It was because she saw him as a hypocrite, that he denounced free love and practiced it, even though in many ways he was this incredibly powerful preacher.
So she believed in free love, and she was the first woman to run for president way before Hillary Clinton.
She certainly was, and she was also pretty mad at Henry because he didn't support her bid for the presidency. And this is really the most wonderful New York stories. I mean, here it is, right here, and people can walk or drive across the bridge, and you can be right in the middle of where these people live their lives. It's all still there.
Was adultery a criminal offense in those days?
Well, this was civil, of course. And when the Theodore Tilton, the husband of the woman that Henry had his romantic liaison with, he sued for alienation of affections. And that then necessitated a jury trial. And it garnered more headlines that trial, more headlines in this country than the Civil War.
But you can understand it. You can even understand why Victoria Woodhull would have felt that he was a hypocrite. After all, he was a clergyman. He wasn't just some a politician who
right.
might have had an affair with an intern or something like that, which nobody pays any attention to.
She wanted him to be honest, and especially his sister Isabella. And this is the core of the story, is the split that comes in the family.
Because Isabella was convinced by Victoria that her brother had this affair, and she
really believed it anyway. There were many rumors about Henry. Henry was, oh, you might say he was the Bill Clinton of his time.
But does that mean he also had enemies who might want to discredit him in the way that Clinton's critics went after the Monica Lewinsky story, way beyond what some people thought
yes.
was in proportion to it?
Yes, he was greatly involved in politics. And there were people who were not happy about the role he had played in terms of abolition. And so Henry didn't have everybody loving him 100%.
And it was, I assume it was common knowledge in the neighborhood that he spent a lot of time with her, much of it alone. Was this arrogant of him?
You might
wasn't
say
he,
so.
I mean, after all, he is he's a well-known person and a leading clergyman. Did he assume that people would see him as above reproach?
I think he did. In fact, I sometimes wondered as I was doing the research, I really wondered if Henry convinced himself he wasn't guilty, because he saw himself as offering solace to his parishioners, and he was so charismatic and quite naturally seductive that the fact that women gravitated to him may have seemed to him to be part of his duty to help them and to talk about love on a very high plane. And if something else happened, well, that was not nearly as important.
Well, many charismatic men have had women find them sexually exciting. But, okay, so Isabella thought that he did it. What about the rest of the members of the family? Do you think they suspected as well but felt that family loyalty was more important?
Some suspected it, and they did not stand with Isabella. This was where the family itself, here the country blew up with all this attention to the trial, but within the Beecher family there was a tremendous rift. Most of them stood in back of Henry. They were such a public family that they had to maintain and keep the public identity. And I really found myself wondering, what is it like? Every family has internal disputes and jealousies, and one member feels inadequate to another. All of those things happen.
Well, in this case, Harriet Beecher Stowe and Henry Ward Beecher were the most successful and famous in the Beecher clan, and you would assume that the famous sister would stick by her brother, also because it's important to her to maintain her own reputation. Where did Isabella fit into the family? Was she intimidated by her more accomplished siblings?
Isabella was actually very accomplished, but it took her a long time to find her own role. She became a very well-known feminist, and in fact was Susan B. Anthony's best friend, and became quite involved in the women's movement. And
we forget that there was an earlier women's movement that became very powerful with people like Crystal Eastman and
yes.
Jane Addams and actually was pushing for all the things that the ERA pushed for many years later.
And most specifically, these women were fighting for the vote. And in some ways, you could see that the fight over the trial, Henry Ward Beecher and adultery, and how this brought free love out as a matter of great dispute, it made the women's movement people pull back, and it probably postponed women getting the vote by something like 20 or 30 years.
But she had been sent off to live with an older sister, so she really wasn't as much a member of the family as the rest.
She was the youngest girl in a family of 11 children.
Wow.
And she basically had to fight for her own place in the sun.
Now, you have four daughters,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that you've seen not family squabbles of this sort, but it's almost impossible for that many kids to not have some problems along the way. I'm one of four kids, too.
Of course. I have one sister, and that's not without its problems, too. I think we all have, you know, I think it was Thornton Wilder. He has one great quote. I used it in an earlier book, that in families, underneath, above every family can seem very different, but underneath, all families have a component of the roots buried underneath that are trying to struggle for light and air. And I always liked that because it describes to me something of the meshing of emotions and loyalties and prejudices and just feelings, raw feelings that take place in every family.
My guest is Patricia O'Connor is coming on next. Patricia O'Brien, author of The Glory Cloak and I Know Just What You Mean, and now Harriet and Isabella. It is published by, who's publishing this? Simon and Schuster.
Touchstone.
Now, what kind of relationship did Isabella have with Harriet before
they were very
all of this
close.
Happened?
There was a decade between them, but Harriet was Isabella's protector, and I write about that in the book.
And you say that Harriet also came to rely on Isabella.
She did, and they really had a mutual reliance, and so the split between them was very painful to them both.
There's a very moving scene in the book when Harriet receives a package, presumably from a slave owner after the publication of Uncle Tom's Cabin. What is in the box?
She opens this box, and at first it looks like something dried and shriveled, and it is Isabella who realizes what it is, and it's a human ear. And that actually happened.
That did happen. I was going to ask you, is that one of your inventions?
The depictions of how it happened and who was there is fictional, but the fact that Harriet was mailed a severed human slave ear is true.
Mm-hmm. And that was to intimidate her, I imagine.
Yes. Her book, Uncle Tom's Cabin, really unleashed an incredible amount of emotion in this country at that time. And she had people who wanted to kill her. And she was astonished. She thought that the South would welcome Uncle Tom's Cabin and instead found that she became the spokeswoman for ending slavery.
We've seen family dynasties like the Beechers during our own lifetimes, but as admirable as the family accomplishments were, isn't there something extremely dislikable about their self-righteousness?
There is a streak there where you would say, step outside of yourselves, Beechers, and take a look at
You're
the rest
smart.
Of the world. And I think that in some ways this is what the trial did to them because it also humbled them. It brought them down. They were not in charge of what was written about them.
And what happened to Henry after the trial?
Henry actually went back to Plymouth Church.
That's in Brooklyn, right?
It's in Brooklyn. You can go across there. You can walk by this church now and visit it inside and see all of this history. He remained very popular, but not as popular as he had been before.
This is also a time when the press is really flexing its muscles.
That was so much part of it. This was when the trial erupted. You had for the first time, I think it was the first massive stakeout right in front of Henry Ward Beecher's house.
Gary Hart should have paid attention to this story.
Yes, right. Any scandal we have now, whether it's political or a celebrity scandal, Paris Hilton, Britney Spears, none of them have anything on what happened with the Beechers.
You can't help but admire Isabella for being true to her conscience. Did the family cut her off because she considered the possibility that Henry was guilty or because she was disloyal to the family? And was it naive of her not to realize what the press might do to her loved ones?
It really was. She had this somewhat naive quality. She was a very impulsive woman. I came to like her very much as I researched her and wrote about her. And yes, you could say that she should have realized how they would react, but the family saw her lining up behind Victoria Woodhull as a betrayal. And it became that really tough choice between loyalty and truth.
And there's a scene where Isabella visits Victoria Woodhull in the tombs.
Yes.
That's quite moving as well. I don't know whether that's based on history.
Well, she was actually thrown into the tombs after her outing of Henry for his affair. And they couldn't keep her there very long, but they did throw her in there for basically telling the truth.
Although she could have been a pain in the butt, too.
She was a very interesting woman. Very volatile.
A lot of interesting characters, and it's just so amazing that Uncle Tom's Cabin is in the middle of this whole story. Harriet and Isabella, it's Patricia O'Brien's latest novel, and it is published by Simon & Schuster Touchstone. Thank you so much for being with us today.
And thank you for having me.